All right, number 42, in the matter of Wachovia Mortgage FSB versus Kareem Selassie.
Morning again, Your Honor. Martin Phillips from the moving party.
Good morning, Your Honor. Kareem Selassie.
Mr. Phillips?
I've reviewed the tentative and would submit on the tentative.
All right, Mr. Selassie?
Did Your Honor receive a second judicial notice that I filed late yesterday afternoon?
I did. I glanced through it. It was untimely, so I'm not inclined to admit it because that will not be fair to the other side. Let me explain, and then I'll let you address the court, my tentative ruling on this, and that is it seems to me that there's been a lot of litigation based on what you did submit. That has gone on with respect to this property, with respect to the foreclosure. And from the bankruptcy standpoint, the foreclosure occurred before the bankruptcy was filed, actually some time before the bankruptcy was filed. To the extent that there are any remedies that you believe that you have or claims that you may have against the moving party, that litigation has already started outside of this court, and it, as I understand it, had commenced before the bankruptcy was filed. There may be matters, I'm not sure, because I tried to figure out, I didn't have a complete record, but I tried to figure out what litigation had taken place. It seems there have been litigation in the state court, there have been some things that have been removed in the federal court, there have been some things pending against, with the federal district court in terms of things that have been removed. I think there might have been some remands. I'm just trying to go by memory here. But the bottom line is that it seems appropriate to me that since I cannot, first of all, I cannot overturn any rulings of the state court or the federal district court. And so to the extent that there's pending litigation, for example, let's start with the state court, it seems to me that that ought to run its course, meaning if you're planning to pursue any appeals, that needs to happen in state court. To the extent that there are matters pending with the federal district court, obviously those matters need to continue as well. And so what we don't want is a situation where there are inconsistent rulings, because that doesn't serve anybody. And especially if there are matters pending in federal court, also in the state court, those need to resolve. I do agree that with respect to the, I think there was a writ of possession or something of that nature that was filed after the bankruptcy filing. Clearly that writ is null and void. And so as to that matter, Wachovia would need to restart that process. In other words, they can't use that writ at this point because it's null and void. And I think they recognize that they can't use it and they have to start that process all over again. So that part, I do agree with you, and that part can be adjudicated here, and I can certainly make a determination that actions taken after the bankruptcy was filed are going to be null and void.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. May I address the fact that these are not the bank, and they can't prove any beneficial interest whatsoever, and that's also within their own communication from their inside counsel, Mr. Goldberg, in the exhibits of, I believe, judicial notice. And as I extensively explained there with the communication from my FOIA request from the Treasury Department, they are not allowed, Wachovia is not allowed to use this fraudulent name, which is one whole sentence, which says, as a legal name in any lawsuit, in any legal proceedings, which says Wachovia Mortgage FSB, FKA World Savings Bank, FSB, a Federal Savings Bank. This is a fabrication, as I explained in my documents, Your Honor, for a few executives and attorneys in these entities to steal thousands of houses from people, the mortgages of which have already been taken initially sold from World Savings Bank to Wachovia National Bank N.A. before it changed its name, and I also provided the proof of that from the Treasury Department's website. And they cannot bring you a single piece of proof that they have any beneficial interest. They never came up with any proof of the mortgage with any documents pertaining to the notes. I'm talking about any original documents, deeds of trust, or the notes, because they were forged back in 2002. And I don't believe they can dare to bring any forged documents or the originals of the forged trustees, which were recorded here in Orange County across the street. I don't believe they can bring that into this court and claim that this is a legitimate claim of mortgage. And plus, Your Honor, I forgot in my moving papers to use the published ruling of Honorable Judge Buffert in Los Angeles, in Re Wong, which documents exhaustively that the party that's standing is a threshold question in every federal case, and the determining power of the court to entertain the suit. And with that extensive discussion of Judge Buffert in that published ruling, which applies to these parties, which are a fictitious party. They have not been registered anywhere, and their own governing body, Office of Thrift Supervision, says that they don't exist and they're not allowed to use this name in any legal proceedings. They cannot come up with a registration now and claim stolen properties with the trustee deeds upon sale registered under these fictitious names and backdate them, which amounts to thousands of houses. And that's the reason that they are so vindictive against me, because in the federal lawsuit, I am bringing the action as not only on my own behalf, but also on behalf of as a private attorney general. And I am claiming the stolen houses of thousands of people by this fictitious name, which amounts to, I believe, over 100,000 houses that they have stolen under this fictitious name. And this is the reason that they are so zealously fighting me in this matter, and trying to force me out of the house to also cause me more trauma and prevent me from their prosecution also as a private attorney general in the federal case.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
Unless you have any specific questions, I would again submit I'm tentative. These are issues that he's raised in prior.
Let me just ask you, what is your understanding of the action that is currently pending in federal district court?
As I understand it, he's alleging, among other things, the question of Wachovia's existence in its current name.
Okay.
And
all right, here's the thing. Mr. Celesti, as far as this motion is concerned, obviously there was a lot of documents that were presented in connection with this motion.
Right.
I'm granting the motion, and I'm granting the motion because as far as, and I'm looking at a very narrow view of this, the foreclosure did occur, whether you believe it was valid or invalid, or whether you believe it's invalid, which you believe it's invalid, and Wachovia believes it's valid. It did occur before the bankruptcy was filed. Okay, so that's already happened. With respect to any claims that you may have regarding the validity of that foreclosure sale, it sounds as if you are actively pursuing that, and nothing that I'm doing today would prevent you from continuing to pursue that. But for example, as you mentioned, you brought an action in the district court, which apparently is still pending, and that's where that ought to be pursued. And to the extent that there were actions pending in state court, that's where these issues would really need to be resolved. And those courts, whether it's state court or the federal district court, certainly have broader, much broader jurisdiction than this court does. And some of the things that you are asserting There may be a question about whether this court even has jurisdiction in particular if there are things that you're raising that would normally, for example, require a jury trial. That raises all sorts of issues. And it seems to me if it's already pending in federal district court, if things have already been pursued in the state court, which are both courts of more general jurisdiction, that's where they should take place. So as far as this motion is concerned, I'm granting the motion, and, you know, to the extent that you have defenses to their unlawful detainer action that you're pursuing either in state court or federal court, you're still free to pursue those. It's just that at this point it's being taken out of the bankruptcy court, and whatever is going to happen in district court and state court will happen.
But, Your Honor, may I quote...
And I, by the way, I'm familiar with Judge Buffer's decision in Ray Wang, but the difference here is that, and again, I'm stressing this, the foreclosure sale has already occurred,
right,
and it occurred outside the bankruptcy, and that factually is a little different than the Wang decision,
right,
which I'm familiar with. So again, I am going to grant the motion. I'm not granting retroactive relief with respect to that writ or whatever was filed after the bankruptcy. That's going to be null and void, and you know, you have to begin all over again on that point, and that will be the ruling.
Is may I add something that only as a matter of question, what I'm seeing here is that for them to obtain relief in this federal court, which is like Judge Buffett's court, they must both meet the constitutional requirement, which is the standing, and the prudential, including the real party and interest matter. And
well, here's where we, and you may be very clear, because you may not agree with me on this one, and I understand that.
Okay.
But I am satisfied that they have sufficient standing to bring this motion by virtue of the foreclosure. Now, if another court later determines that that foreclosure was invalid, that ruling obviously will stand. But for purposes of this hearing only, as the party involved in the foreclosure, which did occur before the bankruptcy, for this motion, I am finding that they have standing to bring it as the parties who conducted the foreclosure. And we don't get into whether or not the foreclosure was actually valid. That's going to be litigated at some point, obviously.
But, okay. But, Your Honor, the point is there isn't and such a party.
I only have a little bit of time because obviously there are other people that are waiting, and I don't want to be discourteous because I have let you guys go quite long on this, and I understand your position.
Your Honor, may I request that, Your Honor, take this under submission or continuance by looking also at the request for judicial notice that I deposited?
No, I'm not actually going to do that because that was delivered, I think, yesterday. I reviewed a lot of it this morning. I don't know if I reviewed all of it, but I want to be real clear on request for judicial notice also, because even amongst lawyers, sometimes there's a misunderstanding about what that means, what that concept means. A request for judicial notice means that I can take judicial notice of the fact that certain documents were filed with the court. It doesn't mean that the truth of those documents is being admitted when you're taking judicial notice, okay? Unless it's a court order or something that's completely self-authenticating like that. But if it's a matter of declarations or statements or testimony or whatever that was filed in another court, I can recognize, yes, those documents were filed with the court, but it doesn't mean that, you know, the truth or the content of those documents become part of this record. So I want to be clear about that because, and I want you to understand how I applied and how I looked at the request for judicial notice. Obviously, you spent a lot of time, and I know this is probably consuming your life. I mean, I get that part of it. But today's hearing is actually pretty narrow, and it seems to me that whatever rights you are asserting can be resolved in other courts. So that will be my ruling, and good luck to you.
May I just object actually to your ruling with all due respect, and does Your Honor entertain a motion for reconsideration of this within 10 days?
I entertain whatever motions are filed.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
A couple questions regarding the request for 10-day waiver and binding in spite of in the event of conversion. I don't believe that was referenced in the 10 days. I want to get that clear.
I understand the 10-day. What was the other?
Binding in the event of conversion.
That's pretty standard. So yes, I'll grant that. With respect to the waiver of the 10-day period, that request will be denied.
And to the extent that reference the language about the writ being null and void, do you want that specifically in the order?
Yes, I think that would make things a lot clearer.
Okay.
So the order would say that the motion is granted, that I'm not granting the request for waiver of the 10-day period, and also that the
writ of possession.
Writ of possession that was filed after the bankruptcy will be null and void. Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.